Father, what a glorious day it is to be here, to be yours, to know that we are eternally saved by our faith in Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, to leave Thanksgiving, but to know as a Christian every day is a day of Thanksgiving, and as we look forward to the Advent and the coming of the Christ, the day we celebrate it on anyway, we just praise you, Father. You are everything to us. We gather together as one mind, the mind of Christ, being cleansed and saved by the broken body and blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. Speak to us through your word today and use us in this community and in our workplaces this week and this Christmas season. May you give us all the chance to talk about Jesus to somebody and to be a blessing to you as you are a blessing to us. So please bless us today with truth and understanding, and help us to leave here just a little bit different than we came. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, the night sky in Texas can be pretty dark, right? Especially if there's no moon or a new moon. And in the dark Texas night sky, how do you know a star when you see one? I mean, how can you distinguish a star from the surrounding darkness? That's easy, right? It's a simple question. It's a silly question, really. We can distinguish a star by the contrast of its light shining in the darkness. In fact, it's the darkness around it that seems to make the star shine all the more brightly. And why did God create the heavens? Why are there stars in the heavens? God tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 15, he says, to give light to the earth, to give light. In time, Christ Jesus came to the earth, God the Son. He's our true superstar. Jesus came shining as a light into the darkness, into the filth, into the sin of this world. In John chapter 1, verse 5, it speaks of Jesus and says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Jesus speaks of himself in John chapter 8, verse 12, and says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So when we turn to Christ Jesus through faith in his work on the cross, when we become a Christian, believing in him, making him the Savior and Lord of our lives, we become a new creation. And as a new creation in Christ, we are no longer to walk in the darkness, but we are to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. And when we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, then we will emit that light to varying degrees in our lives as Christ shines through us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. How can someone who has given themselves to Christ, has become a new creation, it says they love the Lord but they hate their brother? How can that be? You see, anyone who claims to be a Christian, yet that light is not emanating through them, God's light, Christ's light, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And this Christ light, that's what I'm calling it, this Christ light that you emit, it will attract some people and it will repulse other people. But you know what? There should be light in your life. There should be light, Christ light. However, you must understand this, that nothing burns, nothing emits light unless there's some source. I mean, there's always something that fuels the fire. There's always something that sends the electricity. There is always a fuel source. If there's no fuel, there's no light. You see, Jesus is the light. Jesus is the source. His light shines through us. We are not the source. We are simply light bulbs. We are receptacles through which that Christ's light, through the power of the Spirit, comes and shines through our lives. We emit that light as his energy flows through us. And if that energy is not flowing, if that light isn't being emitted in our lives, then again, there's a problem. There's a problem. You see, our need this morning is to understand that the light that shines gets the oil. The lamp that burns gets the oil. So we should be burning as brightly as possible. And this will make more sense as we continue in the message. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We are continuing through Mark. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. And as we go through this passage, Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25, we'll have two main points. We're going to talk about the lamp of disclosure, and we're going to talk about the fact that you use it or you lose it in relation to the fact that the light that shines gets the oil. The lamp of disclosure, and you use it or you lose it. Again, Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. And this week, as you do what you do, as you live your lives as a Christian, know that you're here for a purpose. Know that Jesus' purpose is now your purpose. Know that the fruit of the Spirit that is growing in your life is meant to be used. Know that if you don't use what the Lord gives you, He will take it from you and He will give it to somebody else. Let's read together. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from you. Thus saith the Lord." Now, as we get started this morning, I want to just tell you quickly that this is a tough passage of Scripture. It's technically not listed as one of the kingdom parables. The Greek is hard to follow, and the commentators are all over the place. It seems like no one agrees on what this little parable means. So I was on my own. I was completely on my own, which is not always a bad thing. So when you're on your own and you're doing your Bible study, what do? You search the Scripture to prove the Scripture while staying true to the context of the passage. So when you search the Scripture, what you find is that the same parable is found also in Matthew chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8. And I use those passages to help me glean the truth from this passage. And very quickly, what is the context here in Mark chapter 4? Well, the context is the secret of the kingdom of God. That's verse 11, back in Mark 4, verse 11. The context is that Jesus was alone with the 12 and others around him. That's verse 10. And last time we went through the soils, right? And in verse 20, we get to the good soil. So Jesus wants us to be the good soil. We all want to be the good soil. So the context is the good soil. And the good soil hears the word, accepts the word, and produces a crop. So that's the context that we find ourselves in with this parable. Now, if we look to the same parable in Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, honestly, it doesn't help us that much because the context is exactly the same. So no help there. But we go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, and we get a little bit more help there. So if you want, you can turn to Matthew 5 very quickly. Just back a few pages. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, and it says this. It says this, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So, what's the context here in Matthew 5? Well, in Matthew 4 and 5, Jesus is preaching and teaching about the good news about the kingdom of heaven. He says that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Then he starts the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, and we have the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are kingdom principles. How do we know they're kingdom principles? He tells us. Chapter 5, verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then in the context of this, these kingdom principles, Jesus reveals more information about our parable this morning, our passage. All right? So you can go back to Mark chapter 4. And I say all that just because there are many Bible commentators and scholars who will not agree with the way I'm going to teach this morning. But honestly, I say no. I see no other way to teach it. And I could say some believe this and some believe this, but I've read and I've reread their position, and I don't understand where they're coming from. So I'm showing you how I came to my conclusions, and I'm also reminding you how you should come to your own conclusions as you do your own Bible study. You search Scripture to prove Scripture, staying true to the context. That's Bible Study 101. All right. Having said that, we come to our first point. The lamp of disclosure. The lamp of disclosure. Verse 21. He said to them, "Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand?" Jesus starts, it said, he said to them. Jesus said to them, okay, first question, who's them? Who's he talking to? You know, the setting here seems smaller. It seems more intimate. It doesn't seem like he's still in the boat talking to thousands and thousands of people as they line the shore. Remember back in verse 10, it says, when he was alone with the 12 and the others around him, they asked him about the parables. So it makes sense that Jesus is still talking to the disciples, his true disciples, those that were sitting at his feet, those that are listening to his words, those that are on the inside. It's a small, intimate setting. And remember, as he speaks to his disciples, he gives them the key to true discipleship. And what is the key to true discipleship? Hearing. Hearing the word of God. Remember, verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Then as he goes through the parable of the soils, you know, he starts with the hard soil, then the rocky soil, and the thorny soil, then the good soil. And when I spoke about it, I called it the hard heart, and the shallow heart, and the crowded heart, and the good heart. What's the difference between those soils? What's the difference between those hearts? Hearing. Hearing God's word. And then you had those that were on the inside sitting at his feet, as opposed to those on the outside that were making their demands known. What's the difference? Hearing. What's the difference? What's the key to true discipleship? Hearing God's word. And we see the same thing here in our passage this morning. What's the key? The key that's so important? Well, in verse 23, he repeats himself, says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he says in verse 24, consider carefully what you hear. He's talking to his true disciples, and he's saying, hear this, you that have been given ears to hear. So, of course, I have to ask you this morning, are you a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you have ears to hear? Because if you have ears to hear, you're like, oh, yeah. And if you don't have ears to hear, this makes no sense to you at all. And let me tell you, if you're sitting out there this morning and this makes no sense to you, there's hope. There's always hope in Jesus. Tell the Lord, say, open my ears, open my eyes, open my mind, Lord, I want you. And he will, and he will. Do you have ears to hear? Okay, verse 21, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? The Greek here says the lamp comes in to be put under a basket or a bed. The lamp comes in. And I say that because it's not a lamp, but there's a definite article in the Greek, it's the lamp. It's the lamp. Okay, so first thing, a lamp in the first century. A lamp in the first century was an oil lamp. It probably looked much like Aladdin's lamp. You know, he rubbed the side and the genie came out. It was that style of lamp. In fact, oil lamps are one of the most common artifacts found by archaeologists. And you want to know why they're so commonly found? Because every family had one or two or three or four. When it gets dark and you need light in your house, you light your lamp. Everyone in this room has lamps in their house, right? They were common. They were common. They would fill a lamp with oil. There was a wick that went down into the oil. They would light the wick, and it would burn as long as there was a fuel source. Now, this doesn't exactly look like their lamps, but it's similar. We use these in our backyards. It's the same concept. It's a vessel filled with a fuel and oil. It's got a wick in the top, all right? And so at night, they would light their lamps, and they would burn. Let me light these real quick. I might have to put these out if the smoke's killing me. And if I scream fire, run. Lamps, oil lamps. So what's he saying about these lamps? He says in 21, he says, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? You know, if it's dark and you need light, it is preposterous. It's absurd to think that you would light a light and then put something over it so you can't see it. It's preposterous to think that you might light your lamp and put it under a bed or hide the light that you just lit. It's crazy. So the logic behind the simple parable makes Jesus' point very plain. No one would do that. That's ridiculous. Duh. You know? What do you do with the lamp if it's dark? You put it up on the pedestal so it gives us light and you can see. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. Now, getting back to our passage here, he says, the lamp comes in to be put under a bowl or a bed. The lamp. The lamp. What does the lamp represent? This is a parable. And it's not a lamp, it's the lamp. What is the lamp? What does it represent? The lamp could represent the kingdom of heaven. That fits the context. The lamp could represent Jesus Christ. I mean, he's the light of the world. John chapter 9, verse 5. Or the lamp could represent the disciples. For instance, Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 35, he speaks of John the Baptist, and he says, John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy that light. So Jesus calls John the Baptist a lamp. See, commentators vary on this. Who's the light? Man, they're all over the place. All over the place. I personally feel like the light, the lamp, represents the disciples. The light represents the disciples, the true disciples of Jesus, those sitting at his feet, those listening to his words. It's the good soil, those who hear, accept it, and produce a crop. They act upon what they hear. And really, this fits the context of this passage, but it's made very plain back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, when he says, you are the light of the world. Who's he talking to? Well, in Matthew 5, 1 and 2, he says, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Who? The disciples. And what do you say? You're the salt of the earth, and you're the light of the world. You are the light. That's what he says. And again, you have to understand the context here. The context is the secret of the kingdom of heaven. See, the kingdom was offered yet rejected by the Jewish nation, and now it's a secret, it's a mystery. And Jesus is telling his disciples, his true disciples, that the secret has been given to them. Verse 11, he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Given to you. And as this knowledge about God's kingdom was given to them, it's as if God flicked their bick. God lit their wick. As disciples of the King Most High, God lit their wicks as disciples of Christ Jesus. And once they were given this kingdom understanding, they were to let their light shine in the darkness of unenlightened minds, the darkness of people living in a dark and sin-filled world. Put it another way, they were commanded to go and make more disciples. Be a light. Be a light. Again, what's the key to it all? Hearing. Hearing. It's as if Jesus says, disciples, my people who hear me, let the light of the kingdom shine through you. And you might ask, well, geez, how do we do that? How do we let the light of God's kingdom shine through us? That's the Sermon on the Mount. It's full of kingdom principles. He tells us to be the salt and be the light. He says, you know, don't kill people, don't commit adultery, don't take revenge, to love your enemies. Man, he talks about prayer and fasting, and our treasures are in heaven, not here on earth. Don't worry. You know, if we ask God, he'll give to us. It's all right there. It's as if Jesus, in the Beatitudes, he's saying, blessed are those that allow the kingdom of heaven to shine through them. You're Christ's light. Your Christ light. Verse 22, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. Now notice Jesus' words here. He says, whatever is hidden. He didn't say whatever was hidden. He doesn't say whatever might be hidden. He said whatever is hidden. And for a time, what's hidden? What is a secret? What's a secret to the world? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's a secret. It's a mystery. Not everybody understands it. Not everybody knows it. Not everybody accepts it. Not everybody hears it or feels it. It has to be revealed to them. And during this time in God's salvific history, this age that we call the church age, from the birth of the church with Jesus Christ to the rapture of the church, during this time, people only get a glimpse of God's kingdom through us. As we let our light shine, as we let His light shine through us. And since we Christians are the only windows to God's kingdom that the people will ever get during this time, you're not to hide it. You're not to conceal it. You are you've been given this knowledge about God's kingdom, and you are to disclose it to the world. You are to let it shine. You see, we are commanded to bring it out into the open. I mean, one day Jesus is going to return, and it's going to be completely revealed. One day Jesus is going to return. One day in the future, Jesus is coming, and the whole world will see. Then the whole world will know. Then, you know, every knee will bow before His throne, right? Philippians 2, 10 through 11. When Jesus returns, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And those aren't confessions of faith. They're confessions of truth. Demons will kneel before Him, confess that Jesus is Lord before they're thrown into the lake of fire. Satan will kneel before Him, confess that He's Lord before he's cast into the lake of fire. You see, the kingdom of heaven will be revealed. It will be revealed. Jesus is going to come, and it's going to be revealed. But for now, during this time in history, until He comes, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. I mean, Jesus even tells us here, He taught in parables so that people would not understand the mystery and turn to Him and be forgiven. One writer said, "Yet even the concealment of the present hour contains the seeds of what will be revealed." You see, during this mystery age, during this church age, God's people are to be sowing the seeds of God's word. We're to be scattering, spreading the seeds. The seeds of the kingdom, the seeds of what will one day be. That's letting your light shine. That's letting your light shine. And again, what is the key to being a true disciple of Jesus Christ? He tells us again, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Are you hearing this? Hear. Hear. Because the good soil hears, accepts it, and then acts upon it. Shines. And who is the lamp that's not to be hidden? Who is the lamp that's not to be covered or stuck under a bed? Who's the lamp? It's us. We're the lamp. We, all disciples of Jesus Christ, are the lamp, and we are to let our lights shine in the darkness as we shine like stars, following our Lord and Savior, the superstar. You see, we are the lamps of disclosure. We are the lamps of disclosure, so let your light shine. The lamps of disclosure. As we move on to verses 24 and 25, we come to our second point. Our second point is you use it or lose it. You use it or lose it. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. You'll use it or you lose it. See, the light that shines gets the oil. So burn, baby, burn. And what is it that we have to use? And what is it that could be taken from us? What is it that we could lose? It's the fuel. It's the fuel that causes our Christ light to shine. Verse 24, consider carefully what you hear. Consider carefully what you hear. Jesus is saying this. Consider carefully. Give this the utmost consideration. Think about it. Think about this. This is so divinely important. Consider carefully what you hear. He says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Now, the Greek here, and your translation might be more literal, the Greek says, with the measure you measure, it will be measured against you. What in the world does that mean? And you know, commentators are all over the place. The measure you measure will be measured. But the translators of the NIV make a translation decision here, and they say, with the measure you use. And according to Matthew 5, I think that's exactly right. So what they're saying is, what Jesus is saying, the more you use of what you hear, the more you let your light shine, the more that will be given to you. The more that you use, when you hear it and you use it, you'll be given more to use to God's glory. And basically, that's the good soil which from which the fruit of the Spirit grows in chapter 20. Again, the good soil, it hears. The good soil accepts what it heard, and then it produces a crop. Well, how in the world does the good soil produce a crop? Well, using this morning's illustration, by letting its light shine. See, the good soil does something with what it heard. It acts upon it in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it produces a crop to God's glory. Verse 25, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Okay, so here's a common sense illustration. Actually, I forgot to put this out earlier. Okay, so you have a third lamp. It's right over here. It's right over here. So, it's dark. There's no light. I light these lamps in order for you to see me as I'm giving this message. But this lamp over here, it starts to run out of oil. It starts to flicker. So what do you do? What do you do? Oh, look, there's a lamp. It's not being used. Oh, I'll just walk over here and take this lamp. Now, what I could do is substitute these lamps, but this one's, man, it's all kind of weird looking. It looks burnt up here. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to open this, pour more fluid in there, and light that and let it burn. I mean, isn't that what we would do? We take oil from the lamp that's not being used to replenish the one that is being used? That's common sense. So why in the world would we be angry with God for doing the same thing? Let me explain this a little bit further using an illustration of my life. I can't talk about you. You'll get mad. So I have to talk about myself. And as I talk about myself, if you pay attention, you'll probably see a same or similar pattern in your life. Okay? God really touched me while I was living in Del Rio, Texas, over on the border. And I started attending Del Rio Bible Church. Man, I didn't want to go to church. Church is for weak people. Church is for people who need a crutch. They can't get through life. I considered myself strong. I didn't need church. But man, my wife was nagging me. The associate pastor came and invited me. And honestly, the Lord was pulling me. And I started going to church. And very just here and there, but in time I started going more regularly. And then as I started going to church more regularly, I refused to show up on time because I wasn't going to sing. I wasn't going to praise the Lord. I didn't have anything I needed to praise the Lord about. And I thought that singing for 30 whole minutes was more than should be asked of any normal human. I wasn't going to do it. So I had it down to a science. I showed up to church 30 minutes late, and right when I walked in the back door, the praise team was going down, and the preacher was coming up, and man, I had it. It's perfect. But in time, I started getting there a little bit earlier, and then I'd start to hum. And then in time, I'd kind of start to sing a little bit, but I didn't want my lips to move because I didn't want people to know I was singing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. You know.
But it was like I was a lamp. And God gave me a little oil, and as I used it, he gave me a little bit more oil to burn. And in time, I just felt this need. I wanted to do something in church. I was really starting to get happy, you know? And I wanted to be involved in church. So I went to the pastor. I said, "What can I do? What can I do here, Pastor?" And soon after that, me and Abaya opened our home to teach growing kids God's way in our home. And I think we taught two sessions, about 4 to 6 months each, for about a year. And it was a video curriculum, so I didn't do any teaching. I was just a facilitator. I said,
"Watch TV now. Eat cake now. Want coffee?" You know, simple.
But it's like I burned that oil, and God gave me more oil, and I went back to the pastor. And if you've seen a little Shop of Horrors, "Feed me, Seymour." I went back to the pastor, "Use me, Pastor, use me." And me and Abai opened our home again to this marriage enhancement class. It's called C-Prep. And really what it is healthy communication in marriage. It's how to fight right. Healthy fighting in marriage. But as I taught that class, I really did start to lead more, and I started to be more of a teacher. And it's like I used that oil in my life, and God gave me more to use. And I went back to the pastor, "Use me, Pastor, use me." And then I got an answer I didn't like. Awana. Oh, man. Not Awana. Not Awana. You know, I don't, you know, my kids aren't even kids. They're just babies. I don't know what to do with kids. You know, you got to draw a line in the sand, even at church, because the church will walk all over you, right? No way, Pastor, I'm not doing it. And for about 2 weeks, man, it's like God just was pushing on me. So I showed up in his office and said, okay, I'll do it. You know? And it's weird because, oh man, I really didn't want to do it. But I went and I had a wonderful time. And at the end of the evening, it's like I was high. I was euphoric. And then the next week, I think it was on Wednesday, and the next week I'd go back and I didn't want to go. I just didn't. But I drug myself in there and I'd leave high again. And we lived in Del Rio, which is an Air Force community, so Air Force people keep getting shipped out. And as people got shipped out, I moved up the ladder till eventually I was director of the Awana program. And then I left to go to seminary. And in seminary, you start all over again as a student, but you look for ways to serve. And I became an assistant pastor through, you know, my internship program. And then I was teaching and preaching and playing music in a nursing home to God leading me here. But as I used the fuel, the oil that God gave me to burn, and I burned it in my life for him, he replenished me and gave me more and more. And what is that oil? It's a deeper understanding of who he is. It's a deeper understanding of the scripture and how to apply it in our lives. It's a deeper understanding of the problem of sin and God's grace and his love for us through Jesus Christ. You know, it's a deeper understanding. And with a deeper understanding comes more responsibility. Each time I got more oil, I had a little bit more responsibility. And of course, here I am today. And what does my future hold from here on out? I have no idea, but I can tell you this. My future is his. And wherever I am, I will seek to burn as brightly as possible. My future is his. Look back at our passage again. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has been given more, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. It's as if Jesus was saying, the spiritually rich get richer and the spiritually poor get poorer. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer, so who are you? Because you know what? There's many people in the United States living under the poverty level who do nothing to better themselves. Now, to make that transition to the spiritual side of things, I mean, are you doing something to better yourself? Are you shining? I mean, if you hear God's word, if God gives to you and you don't shine, if you don't act upon it, then that understanding will be taken away from you and will be given to someone who will shine. Do you see? And again, we can draw from the parable of the talents. I read through this a few weeks ago, but it's in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. There was a master, and he was going away on a long journey. He gave one servant 5 talents, one servant 2 talents, one servant 1 talent. And the one who gave 5, he let his light shine, and he got 5 more. The one who had 2, he let his light shine, and he got 2 more. The one who gave 1, he buried it, right? He was given a lamp with oil to burn, and he buried it. He put it under a bowl or under a bed. And what did this master say when he came back? He said, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, there is a lamp that burns, and there was a lamp that didn't burn. Let me tell you something. A lamp that produces no light is worthless. You chunk it. Will God chunk you? No. One writer said, our spiritual hearing determines how much we have to give to others. There's no sense in trying to cover things up because God will one day reveal all things. Jesus is returning. He's going to reveal all things, and that's what we're working towards right now, to revealing all things, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the love of Christ, or salvation through faith alone, in Christ alone. And when God gives you something, you use it to his glory, or he'll take it away from you and give it to someone else who will use it to his glory. And I'm not talking about God taking away your salvation. We're safe in the hands of God. What I'm talking about is spiritual growth. What I'm talking about is spiritual maturity. What I'm talking about is biblical understanding, because all those things comes through faithful obedience. So our first point was the lamp of disclosure. We are the lamp of disclosure. We're to burn. The second point was use it or lose it. If God gives to you and you don't use it, then he may take it away from you and give it to somebody else. You'll lose it. And as for our application this morning, I'm just calling it the experiment. It's the experiment that leads to a new life. And if you're ready, and you have to be ready, I'm going to ask you to try it. It's the experiment. And the experiment is simple. I mean, it's to let your light shine. It's to burn, baby, burn. I mean, if the lamp that burns gets the oil, then burn. I mean, do you want to know God more intimately? Do you want to grow in your spiritual life? Have you been stuck on a spiritual plateau and you don't know why? Try it. Give yourself a time frame, a month, 3 months, 6 months, all of next year. We're almost to a new year. Be different. Live different. Be completely his, man. Evangelize. Read your Bible in the morning and tell everybody all day about what you read. Man, just hammer people with the love of Christ. You know, tell Satan to get the hell out of your life. You're not putting up with that sin anymore. You're going to do it God's way. God's way. And you know what? As you go for it, as you just give it all to the Lord, some people will be turned off. And some people will be changed forever. But as Christians, God gives you an amount of oil, so burn it. I mean, again, the lamp that shines gets the oil, so burn, baby, burn. Let your light shine for him. Use the oil that he's given you, because his promise is that if you use it, he'll give you more. And his promise isn't just to replenish what he's given you, but to give you more. If he gave you 4 ounces, he'll give you 8 ounces. More. More. Try it. Try it and see if doors don't open. And the door that I'm talking about opening is the door to your mind, to the deeper things of God, to a deeper understanding of who he is, to a deeper understanding of what a disciple is, to a deeper understanding of the gospel, to a deeper understanding of why people reject him, and yet why he loves us so, a deeper understanding of the mysteries of God's kingdom. And really, this can be taken as a promise or a threat. God promises if you use it, he'll replenish, give you more. And basically, it's a threat. If you don't lose it, he'll take it from you. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be? I mean, if God can use me, he can definitely use a donkey. You know what I'm saying? He can use anybody. We are the light in this dark world, and Jesus shines through us. He is the source, and we are the fixture. We're the lamp. We're the bulb. We're to shine for him. We're to make the mystery known so that people can kneel before him now as their Savior instead of being forced to kneel before him then as their judge. We are the light in this dark world, and the more we use what God gives us, the more he will give us to use to his glory. So go. Use it. Go. Be a light. Go. Burn, baby, burn. As I opened, I asked, how do you distinguish a star in the night sky? Let me ask you another silly question. How do we distinguish a Christian from the surrounding darkness? Well, it's easy. We can distinguish a Christian by the contrast of their light shining in the darkness. In fact, it's the surrounding darkness what makes the Christians seem to shine all the more. So burn, baby, burn. I close with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, which says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light." Praise God. I invite the praise team to come up. I've called our application this morning an experiment. And by definition, an experiment is an experiment, but this is a guaranteed. It's an experiment with a guaranteed outcome. Guaranteed. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. You'll be given more. And as we talk about the kingdom parables next week, and we talk about how it starts small and grows, it's the same thing in your life. It starts small, and it grows, and it grows. Your faith grows. Your love grows. Your ability to forgive, the fruit of the Spirit. But the more you use it, the more you'll be given. The first thing, the very first thing, I mean, if you're sitting there and your head's spinning, you're like, what in the world is that guy saying? Is give yourself to the Lord, just saying, Lord, here I am. I've tried it my way. I'm tired. I want to be happy. I want something to live for. God, save me from myself. Save me from my sin. Save me from this world. Save me, Father. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for me. Right there in the privacy of your own heart, your own mind, your own chair, you can just open up and say, Lord, use me, take me. Give me a little bit of oil. Please, Father. And for those of you who are Christians and have given yourselves, I want you to understand true discipleship. It starts by turning to God, but then you know what? Chapter 2 is you saying, use me, Father. And chapter 3 starts me say, use me again, Father. And chapter 4 starts me say, use me again, Father. And you know what? I never, ever planned on standing up here in front of people. Ever.
Praise the Lord.
God has plans for you. But first you got to say, here I am, Lord. And whatever he gives you, you're not looking to the next person. You're not looking to them saying, oh man, look at all their oil. Ooh, look how brightly they shine. No, man, you take what he gives you and you go, and he'll give you more. So go and use what he's given you. If you need special prayer, come on up here. I'll be happy to pray with you.